Welcome to another episode of the 151 Collective. I am your co-host, Zachmo, a.k.a. Mance Raider, the King Beyond the Wall.
And I'm your co-host, Collector, a.k.a. Bear Walker.
I started rewatching Game of Thrones for the hell of it. Just why not?
Took me a minute to put two and two together.
Mance Raider,
King Beyond the Wall. I'm Bear Walker because I got a Bear Walker skateboard.
You're a bear and you walk around.
I got the Gengar Bear Walker skateboard, and it comes with a numbered Gengar card.
PSA gonna grade that for you?
They do not actually grade these, unfortunately.
I'll grade it for you. It's an 8.
It's not gonna 10, I'll tell you that.
It's an 8.
Probably. I'm
telling you right now.
393 of 1250.
Alright, I'll send you a ZMG sticker to put on top of it.
Sick. I'm gonna hang the board on the wall in the office when I'm finished.
You're not gonna shred some rails or some
ramps? It's a longboard. Well, it's like a shorter longboard. It's a cruiser.
Is it a penny board?
No.
You know what a penny board is?
It's longer than a skateboard.
Yes, I understand.
What a penny board is.
All right, calm down, Mr. I play skate and do cool tricks into a church.
I used to skate. I had an element. I had a birdhouse.
I had a birdhouse once in my backyard. I had a maple board. I had a girl board. I think I had an element board. I think everybody had an element board.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Ben Margera.
Yeah, I definitely had a World Industries and a blind board.
You had way more than I did. I had two. And then I got it was like a blank deck from, I don't even remember the name of the company.
I love blank decks.
But they were like famous for making blanks. And it was like all a solid green color, I want to say.
I think I know what you're talking about. The name is
I want to say CCS, but CCS was like the shoe company. Did they make
decks?
No,
but they made
too?
Boards. Yeah, they made boards.
Could have been a CCS board then.
That's possible. They also weren't just a shoe company. They were like a clothing company. I used to love getting the CCS catalogs.
Yes, they were like a big part of skate culture for sure.
Yeah. I actually recently got Dickies from them. I want to say maybe 3 to 4 years ago.
Nice. I got out of the shortboarding and I bought a longboard when I was like 17 or 18. And then I was like, I longboarded for a couple of years, like as my primary means of transportation when I was in college.
Well, how do you do it now?
I drive a car.
Not stupid.
I still have the longboard though. It was a Sector 8.
Nice.
It was raining and I was going to this like, they had like a health clinic on campus and I was like, I had like a fever or like I was congested or something and I just needed to get some medicine. So I was skateboarding to this health clinic and I had the clap. So I was going to the health clinic and to get there, it was like literally like 3 blocks from my dorm and my dorm was up at like the top of a hill. And then the health clinic was down at the bottom of the hill and it was raining. And so I just hopped on the longboard, like didn't think anything of it, just started cruising down the hill. Everything was totally fine. Leaned back to turn right into the clinic. And because of the moisture on the road, the board just slid completely out from underneath me. And oh man, I ate shit so hard. I ended up like, I still have a scar from it. I like busted my hand open. I needed to, I think my parents came and took me to the hospital. It was like a whole thing.
We have a hill right by me called Crematory Hill. Because there's a crematory at the top of it that everybody used to bomb down. Oof, mm-hmm. That was fun. I've seen a lot of people fuck up on that.
My freshman year in college, basically like the dorms were situated on one side of a main road and then the campus with all the classrooms and college, like all the class buildings was situated on the other side of the main road. And the way they connected the two was like an underpass. So it was a giant downhill and then maybe 20 feet of flat and then a giant uphill. And so every single day on my way to class, I would quote unquote bomb that hill. It wasn't like you didn't really have to bomb it. You definitely picked up speed, but I was such a hippie in college. Like I was such a hippie dude. I remember clipping sandals to my waistband and just being barefoot and longboarding everywhere.
And did I had you hacky sack a lot?
I did hacky sack a fair amount.
You can't tell me you clipped sandals to your fucking waistband and didn't hacky sack.
I did hacky sack a fair amount. I did a lot more hacky sack in high school though. But yeah, dude, we used to customize our hacky sacks. Was that a thing? Did you do that?
No, we just went and picked up a hacky sack from the local shop.
Yeah, so what we would do is we would buy a hacky sack, but you know how a lot of times they're like really firm?
Yeah.
So we would like cut a couple of the like stitches, they're not stitches, whatever it's called when something's crocheted.
Threads,
sure, whatever. We would cut it open, and then oftentimes there was like a sealed bag of styrofoam inside or whatever rice or whatever, you know, material they had inside there. We would cut the bag open a little bit and just dump like half of what was in the hacky sack out, reseal that bag with a lighter, and then sew it shut. That way the hacky sack was more flat and it would still bounce, but you could like stall it. And that's how we get like a nice sesh going.
Next time I rip on stream, I want you to hacky sack while you rip for me.
I don't think I have those skills today. I'm probably a bit rusty with the old sack.
But it can be fun. Here, I'll make a bet. If this gets 100 likes.
Okay.
You have to hacky sack on camera.
Why? To what benefit does that? How do I win?
I'll donate to a charity of your choice.
You're going to donate what?
I don't know, like $5.
You have to donate 100 hacky sacks to the local YMCA.
Do they even take hacky sacks?
I don't know, but they're going to show up there, a box of 100 hacky sacks.
No name, just a box of hacky sacks.
Yep, from anonymous.
No return. Yeah, donation for the kids.
For the kids.
So that they can sack these hackies. They're gonna think there's drugs inside or some shit.
Yep. That's not my problem.
It's not mine either anymore. But 100 likes. So
100 likes equals 100 hacky sacks.
Yeah. I was just on the phone with everybody, really. We did a group call. Everybody was in there. It was very annoying because they're all yelling at me, Sackmo. How was Collector's Weekend collecting? I was like, I don't fucking know, guys. I'm not a collector. So why don't you let everybody know?
It was good. It was a good week in collecting. Good couple weeks in collecting. I got a PC slab of the Mega Absol Japanese PSA 10 that went straight into the PC case. I got the Bearwalker Gengar skateboard, which was sick that I got one before they sold out. There's only 1,250 pieces made. So I got that from Pokemon Center. FML, this guy. I got a few more. I had ordered a while back, a few weeks ago, I had ordered all the cards I needed to complete Kamiya. And they've been like slowly pouring in. They're 4 days late now. Anything that didn't get here. So I'll give it like 4 more days.
Wait, all of them? Even the ones we discussed?
The two big ones? No. Everything but those. So I think I'm missing like, I just got another one today. So I think I'm down to like 3 or 4 cards missing from that binder. But they've been like periodically arriving and I just pop them in the binder. What else did I get? I actually decluttered my collection a little bit and put a few of the items from my personal collection up on stream. My sealed collection was kind of getting a bit out of hand. And so I wanted to trim it down a little bit and kind of adjust what my long-term plan with my sealed is. I was saving for a long time there during the SV era when it felt like, you know, Pokemon would never catch up with print quantity. I was just saving one case of everything. I just had cases of literally like every product that I could get my hands on. Like everything that I, basically everything I ever sold on stream during the Scarlet Violet era, I had a full sealed case of. And so I've slowly been going through that and putting a lot of those products up for sale on stream. And then also like even stuff from before Scarlet Violet, I have a closet full of sealed that isn't inventoried anywhere. And so I like opened that closet the other day. I was looking for a box, like it had nothing to do with Pokemon. And I was like, oh my God, like I can't fit a pack in here. Like this closet is completely filled. So I took a bunch of stuff out of that and put it up on stream as well. I sent off a few personal cards to PSA hoping for some kind of miracle at PSA. What else did I do in my own week in collecting? That was pretty much it for my week in collecting. I ripped a bunch of Inferno X and I did decent, but I did not get the Charizard yet, sadly. One day it will be mine. Anything
I bought
else?
A Charizard off of you.
Yeah, I know you did. I like that card too. I'm kind of annoyed that I sold it to you, but you're the homie. It's okay.
I thought you were going to say you're annoyed that it went to me specifically.
No, I'm glad that you got it. I don't think I did anything else for my own personal collection. Something that was cool that happened though, my daughter had like a project at school where they had to talk about one of their collections. And my daughter's just like me. I mean, she collects everything. She's borderline hoarder at 6 years old. But she chose to talk about her Pokemon collection, which was pretty rad. So we, she took like all her binders out. She has so many binders. She took out all her binders. She has slabs. Every now and then I'll grab a slab for her. And so she like had to take pictures of everything. And I'm like imagining my 6 year old daughter, like fucking Professor Oak up at the front of the classroom, like talking about graded cards and what a slab is, like explaining her collection to people. But yeah, it was definitely a proud dad moment for sure, that out of all the things that she collects, she decided she wanted to talk to her friends about Pokemon. And the slab thing was the funniest thing to me. She wanted her slabs in the picture. I'm like, this is insane.
My daughter did the same thing recently.
Funny. I think her coolest
slab, it is really adorable. Don't
get me wrong. It's awesome.
It's really adorable.
Her coolest slab, she has a Galarian Rapidash alt art from Chilling Rain, because she loves Ponyta and Rapidash because they're unicorns, basically.
Hey, I get it. I love Rapidash and Ponyta because their shinies are beautiful.
Well, the Galarians are gorgeous too. Especially if you're a 6 year old girl.
Yeah, I'm not.
Right. They're like very
today, at least.
Lisa Frank, is that the artist?
Yes.
Yeah. Almost said Anne Frank, but then we would have had another episode about racism and Jewishness.
Who's that?
Anne Frank? Never heard of her.
Did she have a book?
Yeah, the ending's a real plot twist, though. I don't think there's much else, though. I'm like looking around the room to see if anything else came in.
What was the plot twist?
Spoiler alert, she dies in the end.
Oh, my God. I was going to read it.
I really don't think I got any. Oh, I got a really cool deck box. I don't remember if I talked about this or not. A Japanese exclusive Mega Gengar deck box.
You might have. I don't know. You talk a lot of, and I kind of space you out sometimes.
That's it, though.
What is it?
It's a deck box. It's an empty deck box. It's still in the wrapper.
So what's cool about it?
It's got Mega Gengar on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's dope.
What does it say?
Pokemon card game. And then it's got like on the back, this is going to be hard to see because it's going to blur. But right in the middle, there's a Gengar, a regular Gengar in the middle of the pattern.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like leather, or I don't know. It might not be leather. It actually looks. I'm leaving it in the package. I'm not putting anything in it. It's going on the shelf.
But you can put your little treasures in there.
Nah, dude. This is a collectible. It stays sealed.
It could be a collectible that collects collectibles.
I have another one, not this one. I have a different Gengar deck box that was a gift to me from Johnny Blaze, and that one has other Gengar cards in it because it didn't come to me wrapped in any kind of packaging. If it did, I wouldn't have taken it out.
Good job, Johnny Blaze.
No, I don't. It's great. I'm glad that it's not in packaging. I'm just like weird like that. If I buy something, like I have a lot of my collectibles are still sealed.
You know what I'm happy is still sealed in my collection?
Your Funko Pops?
My Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I saw another article today about them going bankrupt.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I wonder what will happen with the Funko market. I wonder if it will immediately dip, if we'll see like a rise in certain items, like any like really strong IPs, like Star Wars, Pokemon, stuff like that. It's possible that they'll go the route of Beanie Babies where, you know, 3% of Funko Pops will be incredibly expensive and everything else will be 10 cents a piece. It's hard to say.
Well, like I suspect that the non-exclusive pops will be dirt cheap.
Yeah.
But like the Princess Diana's, I don't think they made Princess Diana, but like the exclusive.
But referring to that was a good Beanie Baby callback.
Right. Well, because that's the only one in my memory that is still fucking expensive.
No, there's like 7 that are pretty expensive. I had to do research on this at one point because I found a giant bag of Beanie Babies.
I have a lot of random, like, exclusive Deadpools who are still in their little cases. Some dead wrestlers.
I have, like, 4 Funko Pops that are still in boxes. And then I have 12 of the minis.
I just ran out of room, so I started taking them out. Like, the ones that are not exclusive. I didn't have space for them. But, yeah, hopefully that market tanks. I mean, hopefully the company tanks.
And then hopefully that
people are out of jobs. That's what I'm
hopefully that creates a strong desire for the product itself. That would be good for you. It would be bad if the company goes out of business and then Funko's lose any value that is remaining, which is already not great.
It is not great. It is not great.
I mean, the only one that I'm going to take an actual loss on is the autographed Green Ranger, but it's autographed and authenticated by PSA. So, like,
that's not a loss. That's, I mean, sure, that's a money loss, but
I'm never selling it anyway. It's mine. I bought it specifically to put in my collection. That was one of the first things that I bought myself when that was pretty much one of the only things I ever really like bought myself as like a, hey, your business is going well, good job. You can buy yourself something that you normally wouldn't have ever been able to afford.
I did the same thing once. I got a snow globe. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
I got a turbo controller.
Is that what you're calling your vibrator, or what is that?
It's my butt plug, and I'm sending you the controller, the remote controller from New Jersey.
I don't know if I want that responsibility, honestly.
Don't give it to the kids.
Send me 100 hacky sacks.
It's hidden in one of them.
God. The controller or the butt plug?
The controller.
Got it.
The butt plug's in another one. It's a fucking mixing game. So it is a controller where I have it set right now to continuously press A.
Okay.
Without doing anything. Legends EA is currently playing. It is continuously resetting spawns because I'm shiny hunting.
This is a new level of lazy when the video game controller is playing for you.
All it's doing is pressing A so I can sit on a bench and let time pass, opposed to me sitting here pressing A over and over and over
again. Yeah, I mean,
losing my fucking mind.
Is that authentic shiny hunting? Do you deserve the shiny if you get one?
I don't give a fuck.
It's like spoofing, it sounds like. It's probably a pretty highly debated topic for people.
It might be. I feel like, sure, it's cheating, whatever. I feel like spoofing is really fucking cheating, but...
Spoofing's pretty bad. I used the Pogo Plus for a long time back in the day.
I spoofed for a little bit. I used to always go to this island in Budapest.
I know I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast, but we definitely talked about that. But did you ever have a Pogo Plus?
I'm not sure what that is. Is that
them at GameStop. It was like a little
ball.
The ball was the newer iteration. Prior to that, it was like very small little thing that was kind of shaped like a Pokeball, like a teardrop Pokeball, and you could wear it as like a bracelet or a keychain or whatever. But yes, it would spin Pokestops and throw Pokeballs for you.
Gotcha. No, I never had one of those.
Yeah, so it would attempt to catch every Pokemon. It would encounter the Pokemon and throw one Pokeball, and then if it was caught, great. If not, it escaped, and it would spin Pokestops.
That's pretty dope.
Pokestop you were in the vicinity of. So when I worked at this Starbucks in like a little downtown area, and it was in range of like 5 Pokestops, like it from inside the Starbucks. So I was like, my item inventory was full, the first day I was at work. And then when I would leave work, I could deplete my items and go walk around the park. And I used to play Pokemon Go every day, and I was like very into it. But unfortunately, I do not have the same luxury of time that I had at that point. So I don't play Pokemon Go every day anymore.
I just do the dailies, really, and try to catch it. Once in a while, I'll sit there and, like, actually do raids.
But... every time I open it, I have to update it. That's how infrequently I open it. It's normally, like, if I'm out somewhere and my daughter's like, Dad, I want to use your phone. I'm like, fine, play Pokemon Go.
That works. The spoofer that I used to use was literally called iSpoofer. It had a few features where, like, you can automatically throw excellent throws, automatically have curveballs, and it had, like, a little joystick so you can just walk your fellow around, which was...
Yeah, so for me, that was always the appealing part. We definitely had a conversation about this on the podcast.
Yeah, probably like
about the ethics of spoofing. But regardless, to me, the appealing part was always to be able to like play at night, right? Like once I'm done. At the time, I was playing Pokemon Go. I mean, I was putting, let's just say on average, 5 to 10 kilometers a day of active. Like I would go to the park. I would like I was out there playing. But at the end of the day, I was like so obsessed that I still wanted to play more Pokemon Go. And I didn't want to spend money on raid passes. So that was the appeal of spoofing to me at that time. Like, I'd like to be able to play right now in bed, like walk my guy around.
That was always my, I'm a very lazy person. That was always the appeal to me, is if there was a fucking joystick where I can sit in my bed, watch TV, and go and collect Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'm down. I got one ban notification. They said, it seems like you've been spoofing. This is a warning.
I think last time we came up with some kind of like suggested solution. But now my new suggested solution is like, you should unlock the ability to walk a certain amount of kilometers.
Well, one of the last times we talked about it, I had an issue because of people who can't play.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about the accessibility issue, and I think we kind of came to an agreement about, like, we acquiesced on the fact that it just is what it is for those people. But I think to avoid the whole, like, you're gaining an unfair advantage by spoofing, which would be like what you were doing, right? Like spoofing to this island that has infinity spawns or whatever. Let's say you walk 10 kilometers a day, you gain access to, you know, whatever the 2 kilometers of walkability in the evening, or once every 24 hours, you can walk 20% of the actual kilometers that you walk in game.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
I think that'd be pretty cool, because then it's like you're rewarded for playing by also being able to play more at a later time.
Right.
Right. I don't see the disadvantage in that for Niantic or whoever owns it now. I don't even know who owns it.
I don't see the advantage in it making us walk the fuck around.
Well, I mean, that is kind of the entire point of the game.
Yeah, I know, but they don't get the advantage
from that. Augmented reality that literally changed the world for 2 years.
Wild. Wild stuff. But yeah, so I got this pro controller, this turbo controller, so I can shiny hunt and while I'm not paying attention.
Nice.
So hopefully it comes into more use. I'm sure I'll get some good use out of it for more than just that. That's pretty much all I got on that. Because the shinies in Legends EA, they don't despawn. So once they spawn in, they're there.
Got it.
You haven't played it easily, right?
No. My wife is doing a playthrough right now. I think she said she almost beat it, but I have not.
You recall what I said about it?
You kind of went back and forth. First you said you didn't like it, and then you said, I take it back, it's fine.
Right, okay. Well, I beat the game. Story was okay. Too much fucking talking. Far too much fucking talking. I wish I had the fucking turbo A button during that time. I don't hate it. At first, I thought it was going to be really ass. Surprisingly, I don't hate the battles. I think that they're pretty cool. They got rid of PP. I don't have one either.
That's interesting. So, I wonder what prompted that change.
Well, there's a cooldown. So Fire Blast, 12 seconds cooldown. I much prefer that, because now you don't have to constantly go and, like, you know, go to a Poke Center because you have
Center strictly right. to heal PP on a move.
Right.
That was overpowered.
Right. But, like, you know, Fire Blast, if you had PPs up, you can get it to 8, but otherwise it's only 5. It's very frustrating and annoying. So I actually do really like that. The battles are very I'm not sure intuitive is the correct word. It's very immersive. I think that's a better word. Because you're not just sitting there clicking, okay, go to Fire Blast A, go with a flamethrower. Mm-hmm. No, you're holding down the trigger, so you're zoomed in on the Pokemon that you're battling, and then it's X, Y, B, and A. So you can put Fire Blast in the X spot. So you're holding down, you press X, and then it does the Fire Blast. And you want to go over to flamethrower. You don't have to, like, it's not a list.
Right.
Is what I'm saying, like the old school mm-hmm. way. It's not a list. It's very immersive. And the graphics are cool with all the shit. Yeah, so I mean the battling I really thought I was going to hate. Turned out I don't hate it at all. Unless you have an alpha Gyarados, because its hit target is so fucking huge. I had to get rid of Hydro Pump because it kept overshooting Hydro Pump on whatever it was aiming at. Pissing me the fuck off.
Pissing me off.
Fucking annoying. So that's cool. I don't hate the game. I think the map could have been bigger. What are you going to do? It literally is just the one city, and you can walk from like one end to the other in like 5 minutes.
It does seem pretty quick because I, you know, multiple people that I know have been like, oh, I beat it. It seems pretty fast to get through the game at a casual rate. I mean, obviously you can beat a
game. I wouldn't say it. I kind of grinded all of it really fast. Like the main story, I grinded pretty fast. I have a shit ton of side missions to do, like a shit ton.
Okay.
So I mean, there's still a lot of playability after you finish the main story. I still haven't caught Zygarde. I don't even know what mission triggers that. Right now, I'm working on getting the shiny charm, which I have to complete 1,000 battles, which doesn't sound like a lot in Pokemon. It really fucking is.
Yeah.
Very.
I mean, when I was playing Pokemon, like really playing, I was young. So I don't think 1,000 battles would have been all that difficult because I wasn't shortcutting or cheating anything at that time. Like I was facing every Zubat encounter, you know, trying to balance.
No, that's not a battle. An encounter is not a battle.
It's talking about strictly a battle with another trainer.
Trainer. Yeah.
Got it. I don't know that I really, there was no way to do more of those in the original games, right? Like in Red, once you battled someone, that was it.
Yeah, but in Red,
a finite number of battles.
You do the Elite Four over and over again.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could do that.
Yeah. That was the, that's the way to get, I mean, if you didn't do the missing no, that's how you got to 100.
Mm-hmm. I always did missing no. I found that in like a Game Freak magazine, I think.
I don't remember where I found that, how I found that. I just knew it.
I think everyone knew it. Like, it was very common knowledge in that
time. It's weird to think about, like, at that time, without the internet, we all knew about missing.
Yeah. I actually saw a meme today of someone surfing right along that coast. It was just the 16-bit, however many bit, whatever the graphic was, and there was someone surfing on the coast, and it said, the top of the meme said, some of you didn't spend a lot of time here, and it really shows. I thought that was very, very funny.
It reminds me of going back to that, we didn't have the internet, and everybody knew that. You remember when everybody thought that Marilyn Manson took out one of his ribs?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's his own D. Where the fuck did we all get that?
MTV? I don't know.
That was one, and the other one was it Cassie? Came out as a hermaphrodite on Oprah.
I don't know who Cassie is.
She's a singer.
Yeah, I don't know. That one.
If you guys heard that, let me know in the comments. I'd like to know.
Like for us, it was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh yeah, that one I heard my entire life as well.
I don't know Cassie. That one I'm unfamiliar with.
I'm pretty sure it was Cassie.
I don't know. It's not triggering any memory of any like artist coming out as a hermaphrodite. When you said it, the only thing I thought of was Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm trying to remember one of Cassie's songs. I can't. But yeah, the Marilyn Manson one. We all fucking
Everybody knew
it. Where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. That was like seventh grade lore for sure.
Fucking weirdos. All of us.
All us weird seventh graders.
Spreading rumors about Marilyn Manson.
I mean, how we don't know if it was a rumor at this point. It's unconfirmed.
If I ever meet him, I'll ask him.
Good idea.
I get punched in the face. Then I could say I got punched in the face by Marilyn Manson. Too bad it wasn't Charlie Manson.
I'm going to say that the information on Marilyn Manson is unknown.
Did you just Google it?
No, I'm saying it's unknown.
I get you.
Time for our Pokemon highlight, ladies and gentlemen. Unknown is a psychic type Pokemon introduced in Generation 2.
Which one are we doing?
Unknown.
Yeah, which one? There's 26.
There's 28 unknowns, actually.
How the fuck is there 28? There's 26 letters in the alphabet.
Well, why don't I tell you? Okay. While Unknown is not known to evolve into any other form of Pokemon, Unknown has 28 forms. All of them are known as one form, as seen in the Pokedex. In Gen 2, there were 26 forms based on the Latin alphabet characters. In Gen 3, two new forms were introduced, question mark and exclamation mark. The unknown forms are chronicled in the unknown mode, the unknown report, and the unknown research notes. In Gen 2, its shape is determined by its individual values. In Gen 3, it is determined by its personality value. From Gen 4 on, it is determined by a separate form identifier. Unknown is a flat, thin Pokemon shaped like a circular eye with appendages that make it resemble a letter or a punctuation mark. It is entirely black, except for its white sclerae, or eye. All 26 alphabetic forms of Unknown have fully open eyes, while the two punctuation forms have half-closed eyes. Though each of its forms has a counterpart in the Latin alphabet, Unknown is said to resemble ancient writing and hieroglyphs called Unknown symbols. It is a mystery whether Unknown predates or postdates written language, and therefore, which one is based on the other. Unknown can move its appendages independently like tentacles or fingers. In the Japanese version of Pokemon Crystal, a researcher implies that the Unknown began appearing at the ruins of Alf after the Pokemon Communication Center was built in Goldenrod City. This text was translated and left unused in the English release. The Pokédex, Unknown Report, and Professor Oak's research disagree on whether Unknown communicates using electromagnetic waves, specifically radio waves, or telepathy. Either way, it can be detected by the Pokégear radio, which interprets it as the melody of the Azure flute. Unknown has an unknown connection to Arceus. It is said that an odd power emerges when more than one unknown come together. Certain unknown loose in the Hisui region were capable of repelling Pokeballs that contained Pokemon, preventing them from being battled. Professor Leventon's research observed that unknown resemble human writing from other lands, though no one took him seriously. In the Pokemon movie Spell of the Unknown Entei, unknown is shown to be capable of reading the thoughts of other life forms. Great numbers of unknown are capable of distorting reality to suit the dreams and wishes of whoever is in control of the unknown. However, they can only do this when more unknown are present, so it can be a shared effort rather than an ability unique to each unknown. Unknown is an extremely rare Pokemon that lives in its own dimension and rarely ventures outside. When it moves into the Pokemon world, unknown tends to stick to walls like engravings of ancient texts or orbit other unknown, usually in the ruins. In Pokemon Crystal, the unknown were said to share a cooperative bond with Suicune. In Gen's 8, Unknown is the only known Pokemon capable of learning the move Hidden Power. All of Unknown's shinies are Hidden Power. All of Unknown's shinies are like a blue color. It's all like a light blue, basically. It looks basically identical to the other Unknown, and it's just light blue. Other interesting facts about Unknown. Somewhere in this thing, I read about in the movie Spell of the Unknown Entei, Professor Oak had some pictures of Unknown on his computer, which have never appeared in any other media.
What other pictures did he have on there?
Some resemble Greek alphabet letters, particularly lowercase sigma, capital sigma, and several other Greek alphabetical letters. So that was very interesting to me that they had this concept to utilize unknown as these sort of Greek characters, but that never came to fruition anywhere, or at least as of yet. We still have time. There's one other really cool fact about it that I can't seem to find. Hold on. Here it is. All right. Unknown's appearance and eyes are Unknown's appearances are eyes and corruptions of the 26 letters of the modern Latin alphabet, as well as an exclamation and question mark. Unknown's G form specifically may be based on a double lowercase g. The shapes of Unknown are used like graphic symbols in the Pokemon world. This is the cool part. Although in Hoenn and the Sevii Islands, their place is taken by Braille. I thought that was very interesting. And then the other really cool thing, I forget which games, but Unknown appeared on, it was like Diamond and Pearl and one other game cover, and they chose G and F to represent. Why would they have chosen G and F?
Game Freak.
Oh, that was really cool. That was a very cool Easter egg. So there you go. Now you know more about Unknown.
It's all known now.
Ha ha.
How do you say it in German?
I think you just yell it.
I'm not going to go there. You looking it up?
Yeah. Unknown in German. I don't know why I can't hear, but it's Unbekannt.
The fuck did you just call me?
Unbekannt.
Unbekannt. I like it.
Huh. The audio is not working. Weird. I wonder if I'm having like an audio issue on the whole entire computer.
Well, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you, but the audio for that specific thing isn't working.
So in German, the Pokemon Unknown is actually called Cognito.
Unbekannt is how it's pronounced in German.
No, that's how you say the word unknown.
Yes.
Right. But the unknown Pokemon in German is called Cognite. Incognito.
Oh yeah, like incognito.
Right. Incognito.
Incognito. Interesting.
See, I knew you were wrong.
Oh, another fun fact about Unknown. I forgot I wanted to mention this.
Tell me.
There's only one other Pokemon with more Pokemon card variations than Unknown. And it's Pikachu, for obvious reasons.
I wasn't going to guess that, to be honest with you.
Well, once you think about it, it makes a lot
of
sense.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It makes more sense. But how cool is that? There's over 92 different unknown, common, and uncommon cards. And there's a couple holos and stuff. There's a couple.
I really hope that those are fans out there who are huge unknown fans, and they probably have the coolest fucking binders
of unknown cards. I haven't seen any unknown binders, but I have seen some really creative gifts made from unknown cards.
Okay.
Like you just get the specific letters of unknown that you need and spell whatever you want and then frame it.
That's cute. It's
pretty cool.
Can you get me one that says I love you?
I can. Yeah, I can get you one that says I love you.
Get one that says Happy Hanukkah.
That's a lot of letters.
That is a lot of letters. But how is it spelled? Because there's like four different ways to spell it.
Hanukkah?
The pronunciation has nothing to do with the spelling.
Well, that's no, absolutely false. When I said that, everybody knew the spelling that I was referring to.
No. Were you going CH?
Yeah.
I don't even know the right way to spell it. I think well, I do the H-A-N-N-U-K-A-H.
According to my ornament, it is H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H.
How many Ks?
Two. Not three. Close. Three would be really...
You were close.
Quite something.
Wild. So I spelled it H-A-N-N-U-K-A-H.
Yeah, so you put an extra N and removed a K.
Yeah, too many Ks scare me. I'm not racist.
Right.
Just want to make that clear. You all have labeled
me. Glad we cleared that up on episode 4000.
Yeah, you guys have all labeled me as this, especially you, JB.
Shout out JB. Man knows the truth.
Man knows nothing. You know nothing, Jon Snow. So well, you kind of skipped over your market.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, what am I going to say about the market? What do you want to know about the market? Ask me questions. I'll answer them.
Oh boy. Has the dip in singles kind of leveled out?
Nah, not really. They're going to be volatile for months. This is my guess, anyway.
Is my shuckle worth $1 million yet?
No, your shuckle will never be worth $1 million.
I couldn't find a price on it. And then I found three of them on eBay for around like $90.
Yeah, that's insane. No one's paying $90 for a Japanese shuckle art rare 10. It's a $40 slab.
It's a $90 slab.
All right.
I'd pay $100 for it.
Well, I'll sell you as many copies as you'd like for $100, my friend.
I'm already overpaying for them. For the singles.
The English one will be about $100.
English one will be about $200. I talked to Tomokazu Kamiya about it. We were discussing arts and our favorite arts. And he was like, oh, I love the shuckle.
Price charting predicts it to be an $81 slab. I said 100.
It's not bad.
In English.
Right. 10. I need to get an English copy that'll 10 at least.
Yeah. I don't want to send one that's going to 9.
I appreciate that.
There's been one sale of the Mega Symphonia shuckle for $50. And that was a month ago. So yeah, it's $30 to $40 slab, I'm guessing.
I'd say about 100.
Yeah, but, somewhere in there. Buy high, sell low.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always do. Any other questions about the market?
I should answer the market. You said, are the singles, the dip in singles, is it change? Is it over or whatever, however you said it?
Is it leveling out?
It's I guess leveling out is an interesting term. There's still cards that are dropping, but there's also cards that drop that are going back up because people are identifying like good buying opportunities in these cards that dropped 30%. So now they're back up another 5, 10, 15%. Singles and slabs have always been volatile.
Yeah.
Like they're just volatile. It's just how it is because the price on those items is based on what someone was willing to pay for it. There's no like, it's not a limited supply of the item unless you get into like true vintage stuff. And even that isn't really limited. And the more, you know, the more stuff that gets open, the more singles we have versus sealed. Whereas the more that gets open, the less we have.
Right.
So yeah, they're going to continue to be volatile. Some stuff is going back up. Stuff that dropped started to go back up. Things that dropped a little too far, maybe, started to go back up pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
But then other items are going to continue to go down. And one of the other things that we're seeing is like super, super normal for singles. When you see sets that are like new, like Destined Rivals and Mega Evolution, those singles are going to lose value in the first 6 months of the life of that set. This happened for every set ever.
Right.
It's not like, oh my God, Mega Lucario SIR is cheaper now. Like, duh. There's 50,000 copies that entered the market in the last 6 months. Of course it went down. And it's happened for every set ever. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, I think. Like, this is how it used to be for Pokemon. People would buy these singles would rip these sets and get all the chase cards and spend the money on ripping the sets. Like, it happened with Chilling Rain. Chilling Rain is one of the most clear examples of it. And then the Blaziken VMAX and the Galarian Moltres. I mean, they were both sub $100 at one point. And people sold them all when they were at their lows because they wanted to get more money to rip the next sets. And then now, of course, those cards have corrected and matured and are 4 or 5 times whatever. You know, I don't know exactly what they're selling for right now, but they're way more than they were at that point. And it's happened with singles and slabs as long as Pokemon has been being opened. We have zero and a very, 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 very high demand when a set first comes out. The supply is as low as it will ever be, and the demand is as high as it will ever be when a set is brand new. And then immediately, over a 6-month period, we see the polar opposite, where the supply in the open market is as high as it will ever be, and the demand is as low as it will ever be, because people have all been chasing the same cards together. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to sell those cards at a time when everybody is trying to get the same cards and there's a bazillion copies of it available. When you go to the shows, you know, at right around set release, a week or two after set release, all you see is the chase cards from those sets, right? It's like, it happens all the time. And so we saw, like, the market dip was prompted by several different things. And one of them was Wave 2 of Mega coming out, and the other one was a lot of singles starting to lose value. I'm not saying that there's not definitely, like, a softening of the market generally. Even a lot of sealed is down. But, yeah, what we saw with singles is it's literally exactly what happened in the Sword and Shield era. This is total deja vu for me. When we had, I don't know if you were even collecting at this point. I think you may have been out of the hobby for a little bit, but we had this little waifu era. There was a time.
Some people who are still in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little bit more niche, but there was a time when, like, waifu trainer cards were the ultimate chase, especially Japanese waifu trainer cards. And everybody wanted waifus. People were doing waifu binders. And what happened, it was actually in June, I remember, when the crash happened, the waifu market just tanked. Like, kind of happened, like, out of nowhere. It hit this, like, artificial ceiling, I guess, because it was a bubble. And then the bubble popped, and waifus tanked. And what ended up happening was that Sword and Shield started to tank as well, because all these singles started to go down. So Sword and Shield started to lose a lot of its value. This was during the Sword and Shield era, when Sword and Shield was still actively being printed. So what happened was all the people who were sort of in the hobby at that time went back and took the money that they had in Sword and Shield out, and they just put it into Sun and Moon, because Sun and Moon was older, safer, totally out of print, and Sun and Moon, like, exploded in value at that time. And we're seeing the exact same thing happen right now. Scarlet Violet is dipping in value because we're just out of the era. Everybody who's currently in the hobby has a majority of the cards that they want from Scarlet and Violet. They've been opening Scarlet and Violet for 3 years. Interest is down. New set, you know, series is out. It's the new shiny thing. And to be fair, Mega is an incredibly strong series. Mm-hmm. So Scarlet Violet is taking a natural correction. And it is November 10th. I will say by mid-February, Sword and Shield sets will be significantly, I can't put a percentage, 20%, 30% more expensive than they are right now. I mean, all of the money is going to go backwards. It's going to go into Sword and Shield because it is the cheapest thing that you can still buy that is pretty much guaranteed to appreciate and soon.
So buy now.
I mean, buy now or don't buy now. I don't care what you do, but in my opinion, sealed Sword and Shield is the way to go. Like, I'm buying more Sword and Shield cases right now at the current prices. Mm-hmm. Because I think that I still believe, even with the market taking a downturn, I still believe Sword and Shield is extremely investable at the moment. Particularly,
you heard it here first.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant. There's no way Brilliant Stars is not a $1,000 booster box. There's no world that Brilliant Stars does not hit $1,000. I don't believe it to be true. There's no way. There's no way. People were paying $2,000 for Steam Siege 4 months ago. And you're going to tell me that Brilliant Stars isn't going to hit $1,000? You're smoking rock. That's insane.
I don't smoke rock.
That's insane. So, in my opinion, Brilliant and the entire Sword and Shield block, even evolving, still extremely investable. Evolving at what the price, it's like $2,500 to $2,700 right now, depending on where you're getting it. So maybe you can get one for $2,300. That's a 5K box all day long in a year, 2 years, whatever, however long it takes for everything for the dust to settle and the market to kind of adjust back to a more healthy place. Mm-hmm. I mean, Team Up was selling for literally $10,000+.
What's it at now?
Probably down to $7,000 or $8,000 for a box.
Ah, some change.
But that's what I'm saying. Evolving is still sub $3,000, and it's way stronger. Evolving Skies is like the set. So as far as I'm concerned, the market is exciting for me. This is great. This is a very, very, very good thing. The only dangerous spot is unfortunately where a lot of my business lies is in like very ultra modern stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm buying, you know, a tremendous supply of Phantasmal Flames, and we don't know when we'll get wave two of Phantasmal. It could be in a week. It could be in 2 months.
Us in the Collectors Club don't even know when we're getting wave one.
Hopefully tomorrow, but I've been saying hopefully tomorrow since Thursday. But yeah, I mean, the ultra modern stuff is scary right now. And what I'm really pleased to see is like all the stuff that is commercially available, things that collectors have access to at like Target, Walmart, Amazon, whatever, like those items are becoming less and less appealing to scalpers because the market value on them is going closer and closer and closer to retail. That is a healthy spot. That's where we want to be in this hobby.
That's where I want to be.
That's where every collector wants to be. Everybody but like the true scalpers, people who are only in this to flip stuff that they buy at Target for money. That is a very healthy spot. Collection boxes should not be an immediate double your money proposition. That was never the point of collection boxes.
Right.
I collect and invest in sealed collection boxes long term, but those are 10 to 15 year plays.
Right.
Like a collection box should take a decade to truly appreciate in value because they're printed to infinity. Right. Like they're on the shelf. They're very accessible. You don't need any kind of connection to get it. That's why booster boxes have always been king of, you know, sealed investing. Because you do need to either buy a sealed booster box from a, you know, a local game store or get it on Pokemon Center or whatever. But like to have cases of booster boxes, you have to have some kind of access to distribution or be willing to buy it from someone who does. You can't just get a case of booster boxes from a retailer.
Right.
So they have had this sort of exclusivity to them since the beginning of collecting, which is why they've always done the best. And there's some outliers, some collection boxes that are just amazing that have gone up like crazy, crazy high in value. But like generally speaking, the exclusivity of a booster box makes it the most collectible item. So anyway, what other questions do you have about the market?
None. If you're going to go on another 15-minute tangent.
Yeah, well, they like them. They like the tangents about the market. Someone in the Discord said, like, oh, my collector app is dropping in value. Is this normal? Like, all my singles are losing value. What they said was, will it correct? Or, like, will this correct? And I was, like, trying to be polite, but, like, this is the market correcting. Like, your singles losing value is this.
Just the market. Yeah, I don't think correcting... Like if I don't know, I guess maybe because I have you and like I'm not, I don't know. But to think that like if I was looking at the collector's app and I do look at the collector's app and all my cards are going down, I wouldn't ask when is it going to correct. I would just assume it's a market.
There's ebbs and flows and.
Right. And there's no set. So there's nothing to correct. In a sense.
Sure.
Because there's no card is worth $200. That's the card's worth. No, it's a market. So there's no correcting.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Go up and down.
Correcting is a term. Like, unfortunately, during the last year, there's been a lot of misinformation put into the Pokemon world on like YouTube and other social media platforms by like people who came from the investment space, like Wall Street, day traders, people who have a background in true financial, the real financial world. And they make Pokemon collecting analogous to that. And they call it the Pokemon market. And they say, we're seeing a dip in the market, or it's a bear market or a bull market. So that's why people feel like the market needs a correction, right? Like you'll see like YouTube thumbnails of like the market's correcting, or the market's crashing, Like it's talked about just like it's Wall Street right now. And that was like hot. That was getting views, right? That's like blew up on YouTube. And that's how, unfortunately, that's how a lot of people get introduced to Pokemon, is through those videos. Right. I think there's some amazing YouTube Pokemon content creators, but in my opinion, 80% of those people, there's no joy in Pokemon at all. It's strictly money. And they're talking about it like an asset, and it's not, they're not collecting anything. They're just, it's just box, right. Brown boxes. All money. That's it. Yeah.
Right. I get you. So I just, the word correct to me,
it's not uncommon. It's not an uncommon term. I hear what you're saying, right? Like there is no price to correct to. Right. The question being posed basically in other words was like, will my singles go back up in value and when, is what the person was really driving at. And, you know, the short answer is like, no, they won't, because this is what the market does. This is what happens. If you were around during the Sword and Shield era, you would have seen the exact same thing happen. If you were around during the Sun and Moon era, you would have seen the exact same thing happen. Whenever a new set comes out, the previous set goes down in value.
Right.
And it happens with not just an end, like a set to set basis, but like a block to block basis. When Scarlet Violet came out,
I always say buy high, sell low.
Yeah, that's your catchphrase. We were buying Scarlet Violet boxes, Scarlet Violet era boxes. And at that time, you could still buy Silver Tempest and Battle Styles on PokemonCenter.com. And 7 days a week, it was just in stock. You could just go on and buy it.
Wasn't Fusion also on there for a long
Fusion,
time?
Fusion, three packs were. The three pack blisters were. And Fusion Pokemon Center ETBs were. Lost Origin Pokemon Center ETBs were. I mean, all this stuff was in stock at the beginning of the Scarlet Violet era. Because nobody wanted it, because everybody was focusing on Scarlet and Violet.
Right.
And so, I mean, I ordered a ton. I ordered so much Sword and Shield at the beginning of Scarlet and Violet. And currently I'm still ordering Sword and Shield. I still think Sword and Shield is the play. I just bought like 30 some odd cases of Sword and Shield product.
I had a Sword and Shield once.
It was pretty cool. Well, there you go. You got my take on the market.
And mine.
Yeah, this is a good thing for collectors. People, honestly, like if you're genuinely a Pokemon collector, this is what you've been waiting for. This is what everybody's been crying for, been whining about. All those scalpers are going to disappear from the hobby if the market continues on the course that it's on right now, and things will return to normal. And like I've said from the beginning. It makes me happy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes me happy because as someone who I do like buying singles, I'm a big singles guy. So when all these singles are going for a lot cheaper, this guy's happy.
Right. Unfortunately, a lot of people who entered the hobby thinking, you know, every single is up forever.
$500. Yeah.
And, you know, there's no time ever where your singles are going to be worth less than what you bought them at. A lot of people are going to get burned and they're going to end up leaving the hobby, which is another good thing for collectors, because then the supply goes up and your ability to buy those things goes up. And I've said it many, many times. There's a lot of people who cry for cheaper product, but then at the same time, they get upset when their singles drop, and you can't have it both ways. You can't have a $50 booster box. I'm just making up numbers. You can't have a $50 booster box with a $500 card that's easily pulled. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Because there's someone out there who's very willing to pay way more than $50 to get the $500 card. Doesn't matter that it's Pokemon. That's just common sense. Right? Like if your box is selling at MSRP, your singles are not going to be crazy expensive. That's just how it goes. So unless the singles get more limited, which I do think is something that Pokemon should do. They should make a collector set, but we've talked about that a million times. Any hoosers, it's time for a ranking.
Look, there's an unknown.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. All right, so no evolution, default type, all gens.
What are we doing?
Well, that's what we got to figure out. What are we doing? What kind of ranking are we doing here? Who do you think would be best in a hack session with you?
Okay.
1 through 10. 1, you're great. 10, you're dog water.
So Pumpkaboo would be number 10.
Pumpkaboo has just very small legs. In this, well, Fan Rotom might also be pretty trash. And Gorbis would also be a tough choice.
And Unknown. I guess Unknown wouldn't be.
No, Unknown definitely has like a little leg going on there. Unknown G would be all right.
That's what they said about me.
All right. Oh, God. Snom.
It's literally a penis.
All right. Second Pokemon, Pyroar. Third Pokemon, Bergmite. Fourth Pokemon, Clawitzer.
Does it have legs or just has the arms?
I still don't understand what Clawitzer actually is supposed to like look like. I think... All right, can you see my cursor? Yeah, let me zoom in. All right, so I think what's going on here, this yellow dot is his eye. These things are his mouth. This is a claw, his right claw, his crusher claw. This other blue thing is his small claw, and then it's like a mantis or a shrimp, where that's just a tail right there.
It's weird.
So, yeah.
I just know that one thing's a huge fucking claw.
All right. There's a Clawitzer. I got to... Whoa.
Zoom.
Wrong direction. After Clawitzer, we got Sevipur.
No.
After Sevipur, we got Ratatat. After the Rat, we got Single Strike Urshifu. After Earth, we got Jolteon. After Jolteon, we have Goomy.
Fucking thing will just melt into it.
And after Goomy, we've got Sirfetch'd. All right, I don't necessarily like the list, but like it's correct. Mine is correct.
Okay. Let's see how correct mine is.
Mine is 100% accurate.
10, I have Snom.
Obvious.
9, I have Bergmite.
Also obvious.
8, I have Sevipur.
Incorrect.
Okay, well, this is also like an opinion.
Nah, you're wrong, but that's okay. I have Clawitzer at 8.
Okay. Clawitzer? 7, I have Goomy.
Probably Clawitzer. I also have Goomy in the number 7 spot.
6, I have Clawitzer.
I have Sevipur. I would way rather have Sevipur than Clawitzer. All
right, fair. 5, I have Pyroar.
Sirfetch'd.
That's wrong.
How?
How legs?
Sirfetch'd?
Yeah, look at them. Look at his little legs.
How many legs does it have?
2.
How many does Pyroar have?
4.
You're wrong. Pyroar is way better than Sirfetch'd. Twice as good, in fact.
4, I have Jolteon.
I also have Jolteon. That is the correct spot for Jolteon.
3, I have Rattata.
I also have Rattata.
2, I have Sirfetch'd.
Pyroar. Easy call.
And obviously we both have Urshifu.
Urshifu, yes. Yeah. My list is correct.
Sorry, it's just like your opinion, man.
All right, time to make a battle party. Incorrect. We got to do something exciting for this battle party. We've been pretty boring on our battle parties lately. Definitely fully evolved. Definitely default form. You want to do like OG 151? We haven't done that in a long time. Yeah. All types, but OG 151, right?
I'm with it.
All right. Make a battle party of 15 out of the following Pokemon. We have Sea King, Mewtwo.
No, you make a battle party of 6 out of the following 15.
Make a battle party of 6 out of 15 Pokemon battle party out of these 15 Pokemon.
I'm going to choose all 15 of them.
All right, so we have Sea King, Mewtwo, Pidgeot, Blastoise, Nidoqueen, Dragonite, Arcanine, Dugtrio, Venusaur, Rapidash, Cloyster, Persian, Mew, Dodrio, and Hypno.
This is actually hard.
This is a banging list.
Damn. 1, 2, 3. Four, five, six.
I think I'm solid with my six as well. I'm okay. kind of going back and forth, but I don't know who I would ditch to.
So off the bat, we both have Mewtwo and Mew.
Yes.
Okay. I took Arcanine, obviously.
Yep. So did I.
Dragonite.
Yep.
Took Venu.
Yep.
And Nidoqueen. I'm going to assume that you took Blastoise.
I did, yeah.
All right, so I have Nidoqueen and you have Blastoise.
Yeah.
So if we were playing like red and we were versing each other, I'd win because Nidoqueen learns Thunderbolt and Thunder.
Run it through ChatGPT. See what ChatGPT has to say.
Blastoise, who wins? Tell me who wins.
I think Nidoqueen and
you
Cloyster.
Win.
Thank you. I think Nidoqueen and Cloyster were the two like sleeper picks.
See, the only reason that you win in that is because Nidoqueen is also ground. So water is going to completely wipe out ground. I took Nidoqueen because it learns Ice Beam. It can learn Thunder. It's a very versatile Pokemon, which is why I took it.
I was back and forth on... Actually, I was going to potentially sacrifice Mew because I had Mew too.
So was I.
And I was going to potentially sacrifice Mew and take either Cloyster or Nidoqueen. I think Cloyster is a very good Pokemon for team, like building a battle team.
So I was going to sacrifice Mew and take Blastoise, actually.
And Nidoqueen?
Yeah. Nidoqueen was always going to be on my team.
Interesting.
So if it was down to Nidoqueen and Cloyster, Nidoqueen wins.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have had Cloyster in that instance. It would have been Nidoqueen versus Mew.
No, you said that if you were going to give...
No. Mew... If you sacrificed Mew and took Blastoise, so the only difference in our team would be I would have Mew and you would have Nidoqueen.
Right, but I was going along the lines that because you also said you were going to sacrifice Mew.
If we both sacrificed Mew, then it would be Nidoqueen v. Cloyster.
Right, but you also win Nidoqueen versus Mew because Mew has Psychic and ground Poison.
Right.
Poison is weak against Psychic. Yeah, Mew wins.
But Nidoqueen takes Cloyster.
Yes.
Very interesting.
So I win one out of the three times.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, because I have an Arcanine.
Yeah. Arcanine was an immediate take. That's fun, bro. We should always just do the OG 151. I'm such an old head. Let's do another one. I can't see. This podcast screen is exceptionally small because I have this
other screen pulled up.
Oh, okay. All right, last one. Then we're done with the podcast. Oh, this one's way worse. We should have just ended on a strong note. All right, here we go.
This is worse. I like this one.
15 Pokemon. We have Ditto, Victreebel, Seaking, Lapras, Tentacruel, Dugtrio, Raticate, Zapdos, Dodrio, Omastar, Golduck, Golem, Clefable, Slowbro, and Moltres.
Okay, so 1, 2 is obvious. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. And six.
All right, I got mine. I don't know. I'm not super confident in my choices here. You have a lot of outs.
Zapdos, Moltres, obviously.
Yep.
Lapras.
Yep.
Victreebel.
No.
Tentacruel.
No.
And Omastar.
No.
Okay, hold on. Victreebel. Omastar and Dugtrio.
No, Tentacruel, you said.
All right, not the trio. Sorry.
Take Doug Trio. It's way less of a threat than Tentacruel.
Verse. Hit me.
Golem.
Golem.
Clefable.
Clefable.
And Ditto.
I was thinking about Ditto, but I hate Ditto.
Ditto's probably one of the most annoying Pokemon to go against.
My team wins.
That was pretty quick.
Well, I told it just to tell me who wins. I didn't tell it to give me any of the fluff. Want me to screenshot and show you?
No, I believe you. Victory Bell takes
Golem out immediately.
Vine Golem. Tentacruel and Clefable.
I take out Clefable because Clefable's fairy type poison.
And then Omastar and Ditto, it doesn't matter because you still have Victory Bell and Tentacruel. Yeah, I was unsure on that one. Tentacruel would have been in lieu of Clefable for me.
I took it for the poison.
I probably would have still taken Golem. I like Golem.
That's fair. I took Omastar because it's water ground. So I figured I'd get both of the best worlds. Lapras is underrated, but Lapras could also learn Dragon Pulse, Ice Beam.
Yeah, Lapras is like a no-brainer.
I mean, Lapras can learn anything you want it to learn. And Tentacruel I just took for the poison.
I distinctly remember struggling against Ditto, but then never being able to utilize Ditto well.
I can never use Ditto well.
Yeah, but it was annoying to face.
100%. 100%.
Probably shouldn't have taken Ditto.
No, you shouldn't have. But you did.
I did. Well, that was a good ranking. That was fun.
I had fun.
I hope the listeners had fun. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the 151 Collective. I've been Collector, a.k.a. Bear Walker.
I have been Zachmo, a.k.a. Mance Raider, King Beyond the Wall.
Like, comment, in the follow, subscribe, tell your grandma.
Tell your abuelo.
Tip your waitress. Tip your bartender.
You said grandma, abuelo. Abuela. Your nona, no. I don't know any other languages. Grandma, right, is that German?
Nana.
Nana. Nine.
Thanks, Oy everybody. Vey. See you next week, maybe. Bye.
Bye.